All right, everyone, welcome to another weekly REI Vault huddle call. Today is Tuesday, September 29th, 2015, nearing the conclusion of the month of September. So welcome to the call, opportunity to ask questions freely. If we've got everybody muted, it looks like today is going to probably be light. I see just a handful of you that are on the call. So as normal, you can press star 5 if you have a question. And then if we don't have any additional questions, we will end the call. Chris, any updates that you want to share with anybody?
No, my only update is that, we just sold and closed. It was interesting, last week we sold and closed a deal. We put a deal on the contract and we sold it all in one day. And the couple interesting things, so we're now waiting for it to close. A couple interesting things about that deal is how long that deal had been in the system. We talked about this before, but this is a deal that we were in communication with them for a bit. They were in a, they had some title issues, so we kept in touch with them until they got them resolved. There was a squatter in the property. Then eventually that got taken care of, and then we went and met the locksmith at the property. We had to get a certified letter so that the locksmith could legally go in. And we went into the house, which is kind of eerie because the house itself, it was really like almost like a stuck in time. Sometimes we think about, it's funny because we go into the house and it was almost as if somebody, that person that was living there had passed away, but before that they moved to a home. And so everything was just as they left it, which is kind of eerie. But even the refrigerator had the leftover Breyer's ice cream, which I wouldn't eat, of course, after being a year and a half in the refrigerator with no electricity. But it was interesting because, that again, that lead had been in our system for so long. And, it was only because of follow-up and continuously following up and everything else that we made that deal happen, number one. Number two, I was actually surprised at the number that it sold for. I didn't think it particularly made a whole lot of sense. This is a property that we had picked up for $93,000. We sold for $20,000. We sold for $115,000, and so I was surprised at the number because it was a 2-1, and so the 2-1 comps didn't show that well. And then the wholesaler that would normally want to split the deal with us, he's the one that sold it, but he took only $2,000, which I thought was interesting, right? So I think that, to me, that kind of signals the fervor of the market that, hey, the property sold for more money than I thought would be worth, number one. And number two, another wholesaler that normally would want half of the deal wanted to get the deal done, and he only took a couple $1,000s because maybe there's a lack of inventory or viable inventory that he has to sell, and so he wanted to get whatever he could. So I thought that was interesting, but I was really surprised at the price itself. I thought it sold for too high of a number, but not whoever bought it, they might have their reasons, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. So we've gotten the last four deals that we've closed. I'm just assuming that this is one of the four that we should be collecting $20,000 over the next 14 days. But of the last four, those are all leads that two of the four were actually marked as dead. We thought that there was no opportunity and had the VAs just revive them and go back to lead. And so all of these were 6 months or 8 months old from the original time the seller called off the postcard, which is really interesting. It means that you can always revive deals, and some that are marked as dead with no interest, revive them because, circumstances change. The other thing that's, even the house I bought, Chris, you said it was an eerie feeling. Even the house I'm living in today, I actually bought the seller left everything pretty much, including the two cats. So I had two cats that I had to grab a cage and then take them to, I ended up finding a nice house for the two cats, but I said, leave it as is. And, it came with a grandfather clock and a Christmas tree from Nordstrom. So I was actually, having my watch repaired, and I found our clock, and I said, what do you think this clock is worth? This, you know, one of those big clocks. I have to wind it. That's the negative thing, right? But we got this beautiful clock, and I walked into the clock guy this last weekend, and he said it's worth about $3,500. So pretty cool. So leave the stuff, and I think I bought it with about $250,000 worth of equity. And that came off of a lead. The seller called to be removed from the mailing, and I got on the phone and called. It was actually in a neighborhood I really wanted to buy in, and so I call every lead. I don't care what they say. And you've probably heard this story a couple times, Chris, but she wanted to be removed from the mail, and she was very concerned, and she even had her bookkeeper with me, and I had a nice conversation with her. I asked her for her address and asked her some questions, and then I put her on a follow-up list, and I started sending her the same follow-up letters that we're mailing out with REI Vault, and she called off the third one, and that's how I bought it. So, but you should have seen the house. It was not only did she leave the cats, but the cats never got out, and she was older, and the cats urinated and did their thing everywhere. In fact, we had to replace a bunch of the hardwood floor because the damage was so bad. But you know what? That's how we buy houses, right? So take it. You know, some of the best deals are the ones that have junk or bad tenants in them. Cool. What else, Chris? What else do you want to share? If you want to put up your hand and you have a question, definitely press *5.
No, that's it. That's it. That's all I had on my side, Gary.
Perfect. So, yep, if you have a question, I met with Justin. Looks like Justin's on the call today. We had lunch. It was great seeing you, Justin, and seeing you and your lovely wife. Again, it's been years since I saw you guys. It's got to be at least 8 years ago. But, Chris, we had lunch in San Francisco. Dreema and Justin came out for a wedding in Calistoga. So that was a good time. But anyway, if you have a question, press *5. And if there's no questions, then we will end the call early today.
So we have a question from Graham. So I'm going to bring him on.
Okay.
Graham.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I'm great. How about you, buddy?
Great. I've been thinking a lot lately. I'd say, 60 or 70% of our files usually have some title issue, some cloud, whether it's a lien or problem with the city or something of that nature. And I was thinking about bringing somebody on staff that just handles that portion of the process because it seems to be a big slowdown for us, getting stuff from contract to closing, and wonder what you guys think about that idea of having someone who just specializes in basically, cleaning up issues, whether it's, an unruly tenant or a lien or, all those little issues that keep you from being able to close.
On our end, I'll let Gary comment, but on our end, the tenant issues sometimes, a lot of times the tenant issues is the acquisition manager, right, because he's dealing with the seller, and he has a relationship established with him, and so he can kind of either push or maybe navigate that a little bit better, depending if the tenants are cooperative, not cooperative, if, whatever the circumstances are. So always find that the acquisitions manager is best dealing with that. And then in terms of title issues, a lot of the title issues like liens, I would assume, our title company down here in South Florida, they're really good at, they'll tell us, we got a lien on the property and we need this document and we need a power of attorney, we need XYZ. And they usually will try and work to get those items done and gotten from the seller. We stay in touch with them and then say maybe one out of every 10, there's maybe two that we might need to get involved in order to kind of help the seller along. But most of them, they're really proactive in hunting those things down, title issues, or dealing with the seller, having conversations with them, et cetera. And then the title agent that we have.
Even negotiating down code enforcement issues. that have to be, you know, brought to code and negotiated down before closing?
It depends. It depends on what it is. You know, if it's hard cost versus soft, right? So if soft would be administrative fines that are put on the property. So just late fees, right? Just, you know, per diem. Those, the title company typically is able to do those. If it's a hard cost, like say the city had to come in and spend money with a backhoe and to clean stuff up and everything else, typically then at that point, we do have to get involved with either the owner or ourselves, but to try to work that out because it's a little bit harder, scenario. But typically on soft costs, do you encounter a lot more soft or hard kind of costs
It's mostly soft, yeah, for the most part. Typically, yeah. The actual fine is only $250, and then,
right.
Yeah, typically it's $300,000 worth of administrative, you know, per diems that you end up getting down to a couple grand once you ask.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just, you know, it seems to be like, you know, most of these, that's the reason we get them under contract is because there's, you know, two or three hurdles before you
can close. Could you give an example, a recent one or maybe a recent one that you felt was problematic and that maybe caused you some grief?
You know, none of them have been overwhelming, but it's just all of them combined. You know, when you're trying to close 10, 15 properties in a 2-week period.
Yeah.
You know, even if each one of them only has one that takes 2 hours, it adds up pretty fast. And I'd say, you know, most recent that comes to mind is owns it free and clear, doesn't tell us there's any problems with it. Then you pull, there's a non-demo permit fine mm-hmm. against the property from 8 years ago. So like, I think it added up to $280,000 because of the $200 mm-hmm. per day they were charging for the last 8 years. And
mm-hmm.
so then the owner had to get a garage door installed to bring it back. He does that permitted. Then they red flag him for not pulling a demo permit before having the garage properly installed by a licensed person. So now he has to pull a demo permit. Then once that happens, then you negotiate with the city that $280,000 down to something that makes sense for a house only worth $50 fixed up. And he ends up coming out of his proceeds, and we'll close on it. We've got the buyer on the other end, and we'll make money, you know, $15,000, $19,000. But it's just – that's a process. I mean, that those three or four things you have to do sound simple, but, you know, it's 30, 45 days of, you know, waiting and keeping on top of it with the seller who has to make the repairs.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, that's a tough one because that requires a certain level of know-how, right, about that type of situation. That a normal layperson would not, and or any sort of assistant. So my answer to you would be, based on the volume you're doing, then you might be at that point where having a closing coordinator would make sense. If I was to hire a closing coordinator, the ideal person would be somebody that used to be in title, obviously, because to bring someone up to speed to the nuances of everything else that happens like that. Would be really a tough job to do.
And we
so
have
it almost
a transaction
be...
coordinator. Yeah, but it's a VA. She's in the Philippines, someone that knows little about real estate.
Oh, yeah,
she has an amazing
yeah.
job completing tasks. But, yeah, every time there's something new, it's like every single file seems like a new situation. It's just that here's what you have to do next. And
yeah, you need somebody who's worked with a title company before in some capacity that you would say to them, hey, I got a code violation for a demo order, and I need to figure out when the dates are and what we do to correct it. And all of a sudden, like, they know, okay, I know what you're talking about. Let me go ahead and work on that, right? Versus you having to sit down and do a thesis on code violations, right? And all the nuances and everything that happens, you don't got time for that, right? You just want somebody you can say, here's what's happening. And they're like, okay, I got it. Let me work on that. But the only way you're going to find that person, it has to be a title person.
What's your cost, do you think, for hiring someone that's knowledgeable in title and out of work that would be good in that position? Like, what are you paying that person?
My thought is, you know, I'll before I tell you that, I will say that I am now more likely than before to pay more money for help than less, meaning that there's an article that I read recently that talked about scaling through delegation. So in terms of, you know, when we hire someone, if we pay somebody, more likely to hire somebody that pays more money, that they are the ones that figure things out with less direction. So if I hire somebody that's a lower pay scale and they don't have the knowledge, then I will have to teach them, and then I become the bottleneck because now they're waiting on me, and they're waiting for me to teach them, for me to show them the ropes, and then that becomes a bottleneck for me because I got other stuff I'm trying to do. Versus if you hire somebody that has a higher level skill, then now they're able to work, you know, alongside of you with some input, but they can kind of take the ball and run with it. And so my feeling is for something like that, I'm thinking 15 an hour, you know, because to go like 10 to 12 bucks an hour, that's going to be, you may find somebody, but I'm thinking more in the line of 15 or 20 an hour to get somebody, you know, fairly competent.
And you're saying someone who's, yeah, had experience in tech. All right, great. That's a good answer for me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
As a note, my internet went down again today. It's down in our neighborhood.
Okay.
I'm back.
Okay. Graham was just talking about the fact that he has a lot of transactions that have a lot of different nuances associated with them, code violations. And so he has somebody that helps him and navigate through that, but it's a VA over the Philippines, and so her knowledge is limited. And so we went back and forth, and my recommendation was, because of his deal volume, it would be great for him to hire someone that used to maybe work for a title company or knows title, so that then he could tell him, hey, I got a demo order for this deal, and then, you know, give him just sufficient detail enough so that she can go out and, you know, shake the bushes and figure out what needs to happen, what needs to get done. And then he asked me what I thought about pay rate, and I thought maybe you know, on the higher side, you know, $15 to $20 an hour to get somebody confident that really knows what they're doing.
Yeah, you'll never be able to. At least I don't think you can ever hire a VA overseas to fill that role. It's a transaction coordinator. Did you mention that?
Yeah.
That's a transaction coordinator role. They can do more things than just work the deals. So you can definitely keep them busy. I've never been able to find somebody, but our volume in California isn't, you know, I probably wouldn't bring somebody on unless we were doing a lot more deals. Do you have a good relationship with the title company? Any particular, like, I'll just tell you what I do, Graham. I've been working with a gal, her name's Rusty. She works for one of the, kind of a smaller title company here in California, and I've referred a ton of business to her. And so when she gives me ridiculous service, and we also do when we open up, I'll open title, even if we don't close with her, she doesn't mind because of the volume and the referrals. They run all the title. And we also do what's called, at least in California, it's a date down. So when they run the title report, the preliminary title report, it really doesn't pull up all those involuntary liens. It'll pull the voluntary liens that are all on record, but it doesn't go out and pull the involuntary liens, including potential bankruptcy. And so they do that for me. It's called a date down, is the terminology we use in California for that. And so they'll go and pull that, and we'll identify that day one, early on, and then they'll shepherd those transactions for me if there's any problems. And anything that's tough, I always, you know, with the buyer, we'll run title through that title company because they've already worked it. And then I have a retained real estate attorney that I've been using for years. He's pretty inexpensive, and he would never normally do this type of work because, you know, they want to make a lot more money, but I have the attorney that will actually run documents and sort of coordinate where needed. And so I don't have the need for a transaction coordinator. In California, I'd be paying a lot more money than Chris, and, you know, for what we would do in South Florida. I'd be paying closer to $25 to $30 an hour or even more. So you got to have somebody that manages the sales side. You got to keep the seller involved. That's really important. And then, you know, probably a good transaction coordinator. And they can do a lot of other documents for you and stuff. But
One last comment I would make in terms of go ahead.
That relationship that you're talking about, the title company we have, we have that in place, and she's great. Small, exact same setup, a smaller title company. She goes ahead and pulls all of our lien searches and title search immediately upon contract, and even if only half of them close, she's okay with that, covering that expense, that difficulty, just because the referral business and the amount we bring her is a large portion of her business. So we do get great service in that respect, but even saying that, something like I was telling Chris, where you're dealing with repairs the seller has to do in order to get the, you know, codes into compliance before you can negotiate them down, that's not something I've convinced her to take on yet. Hey, can you, you know, coordinate this with the seller, the repairs? It doesn't go quite that far, and it's tough for our transaction coordinator, who's a VA in the Philippines, to handle that and know how to do it each time. So. No, this is good. The attorney is probably a good thing to. I'm working on it right now, having someone that I can just call on regularly for documents and expensively to, you know, help that process along as well.
Yeah, two quick comments, Graham. There was an outfit that when I first started, we had a work for an investor. They were doing quite a bit of volume, 40, 50 deals a month. And they had a transaction coordinator, and the one thing I would say, two things. Compensation-wise, she was paid a salary, but she was also paid a bonus per deal, per transaction. Not on the profit, but the number. So there was always an incentive for her to keep on pushing to try to get a deal through, right, because she got paid on the number of deals she closed. The other thing I would do is that I've had really great success recently with Upwork. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that site. It's used for outsourcing, but there's a lot of people there. So I would maybe go in there and you can search for some keywords. You might be able to find somebody virtual that might be able to do it not on a full-time basis, but on an hourly or project basis. And you might want to try them and say, hey, I got this one here that's really ugly. Maybe I can hire this person and scope them out for the project. They might charge you $15 an hour, and they might tell you it's going to take about 20 hours or so. And you kind of, you know, test them that way. And if you use them and you find that they're good, then you can offer them, you can offer them more gigs and offer to pay them off-site. But with Upwork, you'd be surprised at the type of people you find there. So maybe look on there or possibly Elance. But what's happening, Elance and Odesk combine and merge. So although Odesk is now Upwork and then Elance, more and more people are transitioning over to Upwork. So I would probably do some keyword searches there and see if you might find somebody that you can test without really making that long-term commitment.
All right. Great. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Yep. Hey, Chris, I don't have access to the control panel, I don't see anything. So if it's other questions, if you have a question, you can press *5. We'll bring you into the call. But Chris, you'll have to control that.
Okay. No problem. Yeah, any questions, it's *5. That'll toggle and raise your hand. And just to piggyback on what I mentioned about Graham, Upwork has really been, I'm going there more and more frequently and doing searches for various things that we need, and interesting to see they're working through the site, making it better. And so we still have, you know, overseas talent, but sometimes you just need that person that is that is not waiting for you to instruct them on how to do, you know, something A, B, C, step one, step two, step three, but somebody that can take a broader picture of what you're trying to do and kind of run with it. You will pay more money, but if that frees you up to do other things that will produce income, then it definitely might be worth it or viable. So last call, *5, we'll raise your hand.
Yeah. Let me just
we don't have
share
on the call today.
Yeah, we're waiting for that. This is for you, Graham. And sometimes you can actually still buy the property and you're not going to actually get a title policy and title insurance, but if you've got a really funky situation, and let's say the seller is not able to get the work fixed, they're an older seller, you probably will get a bigger discount and maybe you can still buy the property. And the way that I would buy the property, I don't want to get totally crazy here. I can direct you on where to go to learn how to do this. But I would buy the property anyway. I would buy it. You're not going to put a lot of money into it, but you can actually sell it this way too. But you could pick it up and put it into a land trust, so you can control title and transfer the interest, record the deed. and continue to buy the property and basically go down that path yourself, or sell it to the rehabber who's going to do all the work. There's an opportunity to do that, and then you get the title policy once in clear title and everything else down the road. I actually look forward to title problems because it usually means you're going to get a bigger discount. And so there are ways that you can close if needed. And I can, again, direct you. I've probably done well over 100 transactions over the last 10 years doing that, buying property. And I can direct you where to go, how to learn it, what paperwork that you'd need to use, et cetera. And you know what I should do? I learned it all through Lou Brown. I'm using Lou Brown's paperwork still. And so, Chris, one of the things we should do is maybe get Lou on one of these calls and just talk about some of the scenarios, allow people to ask questions, and then have them talk about owner financing, too. He's pretty good at it. And just have him discuss it. I think a lot of people have asked about owner financing and then tricky transactions. He's pretty good.
All right, so I think that pretty much seals the call today. We didn't have that many people on the call today. So again, as always, guys, if you need any help, anything related to your campaigns, your marketing, or anything for that matter, send us an email at support@salesteamlab.com or support@reivault.com. Either way, and we have a team of 20 plus now people that will be attentive to any request, and always better to go through that route because more than one person will see your request.
Hey, Chris.
If you need anything, yeah. Yeah.
I know we're gonna close off real quick. Is Steve Carlson still on?
I think so. Yeah.
Open up the line. I want to see if Steve connected with Lou.
Steve.
Hey, I'm here.
Are you there? Hey,
yes.
Sorry to put you on the spot. I connected you with Lou Brown. Were you able to reach him?
I did. I sent him a text message on Friday. And he was doing a training session, and so we did not connect, but he did respond, and that's on my list to do his call today.
Okay, yeah, keep me posted. He's offered, he's got something called Jumpstart. It's like $1,000 training, but
right.
I've worked with Lou, and he's basically waived it for all REI Vault members. And so that would probably be for guys that have complicated transactions or
mm-hmm.
are trying to do a little bit more creative finance on buying things with owner financing as opposed
mm-hmm.
to all cash. He's really good. And so I need to get him on a call. But keep me posted on that, Steve.
I sure will. As soon as I get through to him and we get a little plan put together, I'll let you know what
okay.
that is.
Cool.
Excellent.
Awesome. All right, Chris, any other Star Fives or are we good? Chico.
Oh, sorry about that. because of my cold, I keep on coughing, so I mute the line. So we're good. So again, everyone, if you need anything, support at reivault.com. Shoot us an email, dealhelp@reivault.com for any help, any help that you might need regarding any deals that you'd like for us to look at. Other than that, then appreciate everybody being on the call, and we'll look forward to our next call. Thanks again, guys.
Cheers.